Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 116, and it's a Monday, November 5th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to the show, and we'll talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. So, Ray, last weekend, you went to the Texas Renaissance Festival. I couldn't go.
I know. You were locked up.
I was locked up. I was sick all weekend, so it's just soups
AKA
for me.
He's in the loony bin.
Right. That's right. Well, yeah, I have a stomach problem, so I just had to stay in. But you guys came over. It was good. It was just great to have you guys come over for a football and dinner with a couple of friends. Oh, yeah.
You mean come over so I could cook dinner for you?
That's right. Thank you, Ray.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Thank you, Ray, for grilling burgers. Thank you, Ray. So, yeah, but before we move on, a shout out to Palima and Mike from Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
So it's good to see them.
It's good to see Palima. Good to meet Mike.
Good to meet Mike. It's great to see them. It was awesome. It was really fun. And it's good chatting with them. And it's good to see Palima again after a year since we went there last year in Denver. Okay, so also, Ray, so since I was sick and not feeling well and everything, I binge-watched Sabrina. I've been texting you all day. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. But Sabrina. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. That's what I've been binge-watching the whole weekend. I did finish the whole 10 episodes.
Yay.
Yay. Did you finish all of it? Did you binge-watch
it,
too?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Well, we kind of binge-watched it. We watched it together, so.
Mm-hmm.
Or tried to, so.
Yeah. So that was good.
Yeah, it's very good. And we got an article to talk about that later.
That's right. We have a big article. Bizarre. Yeah, on the bizarre. So also, I want to know about the Texas Renaissance Festival. What did you guys do? I mean, anything special? Just like any other? What?
We walked around.
Walked around.
We ate some food. We drank a margarita. Drank some water. Walked around. We went into the cruelty museum where they showed you how people were tortured back in the day.
Oh.
So that was interesting. So we did that.
Sometimes they do that even in Voodoo Fest. They have these haunted house rooms, something like that. They
well,
now
this wasn't a haunted house. This was just talking about how people were tortured back in the day. So
there was a room, or there was just a presentation.
It was a whole presentation. Yeah, it was this whole thing you walk through. So
sounds hot. Okay, so before we go to our stories, I'd like to mention to all of you that we are now in the top 25 gay podcasts on blog.feedspot.com. So feedspot.com/gay_podcasts. Put the link on the website so you guys could check it out. There's a lot more. You know, Fall Monkeys is in the list too. You know, Fall Monkeys has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've known Ricky for a long time. And, you know, what's surprising? I saw him. At where did I see him? At the what's that place? Provincetown many years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Even the last time we podcasted with him. Wow, it's a long time ago too. Yeah. From your old house. Remember we podcasted with him at your old house?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to our stories, Ray. What's our gay?
Okay. Straight couple savagely attacks gay tourists because they were wearing Speedos on a boat. Two people were taken into custody in Florida in connection to an attack on two gay men. Two gay men from California went to Key West and rented a boat around 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. They were leaving the boat in a dinghy where they were approached by a straight couple. Police say that Christopher Thomas John Yerma, 43, and Stephanie Lynn Berman, 35, yelled at the victims from another boat, apparently angry about their swimming briefs. Hey, Mr. Speedo, explicitive, get the expletive off our island. The police report says they said. The victim said they also heard anti-gay slurs and other explicitives. You have 5 seconds to get off, or I'll kill you, Burnham said.
I was trying to say expletives.
Expletives. That's what I said.
Okay, all right.
So, Yuma then punched one of the victims in the face and broke his sunglasses. When the victim who was punched pushed Berman away, Yuma said, "You knocked down my wife. I'm going to kill you." He took out a 4-inch blade and tried to stab the victim, but missed and slashed their rental dinghy. The gay couple used the leaky dinghy to get back to the boat and radioed the Coast Guard for help. Yerma is charged with aggravated assault and causing property damage, and Berman is charged with battery and causing property damage. The rental company said they caused between $2,000 to $5,000 in damage to the dinghy, and the sunglasses that Yerma allegedly broke cost $800. So, this was Key West. Supposedly one of the most gayest places.
Not really. Well, let's put it this way.
Well,
it was.
It's very gay.
It's very gay.
It was.
It was. But then there's lots of families who are now going there now. It's becoming more of a family. I think, when was the last time we were there? 8, 9, 10 years ago? It's been a long time since Mike and I went to Key West. And it was kind of becoming more homogenous. Or yeah. It's becoming more, is that the right term? It's not homo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's becoming more people are coming, going there, it's becoming more
gentrified.
Gentrified.
Gentrified is the word you're looking for there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's
kind of like Montrose has become.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it's an area. It's a nice place to be in if you're gay. But then I think many people who are gay there are now selling their properties. I think that's what I remember people saying before. But I'm not sure if that's right. But what I'm saying is many straight people are going there. So I guess these people who did the attacks. Did not get the memo that, that Key West is very gay.
Yeah.
No way. So.
Like Maynard, it's very gay.
That's right. So what's wrong with people? You know what? They're just jealous. You know, even the guy. The guy's just jealous that the guys are wearing
Speedos.
They're
jealous that he didn't look that good in a Speedo.
Yeah, maybe he's, he doesn't look like a Speedo. Maybe they're bears. But if they're bears, they didn't say what the guys look like in Speedos who were attacked. Yeah. So that's what you get for attacking gays at their dinghy. I read about a dinghy, and the first time I heard of a dinghy, it's a small boat.
Well, yeah, it's a small boat that you usually get from a yacht or another bigger boat to the shore on. Because the boat can't come in that close to shoreline. So
you have a dinghy. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so let's move on to the next story. Okay. So the next story is really sad because it's kind of a little bit political. This show is a little bit political today, so you'll find out later more. Okay, so suicide hotline calls quadrupled after Trump's latest attack on transgender people. So that is true because, all these rhetorics about, even what's her name again? The runner who became a transgender, who was transgendered,
Bruce Jenner
became Caitlyn Jenner. So like she doesn't support Trump anymore. But anyway, so continue the story. So Trans Lifeline, an organization that runs a crisis hotline for transgender people and staffed by transgender people, said that calls to their suicide hotline have quadrupled since the story broke that the Trump administration is trying to legally erase transgender identity. In an Instagram post, Trans Lifeline reported that calls increased by 4 times last week and first-time callers doubled. On Saturday, October 20th, the New York Times reported on a leaked memo from the Department of Health and Human Services. The memo outlined a strategy for several departments that would redefine gender based on a person's genitalia at birth, effectively erasing transgender identity. The purpose was to stop the departments from using laws against sex discrimination to fight anti-transgender discrimination. At Trans Lifeline, we are able to see in real time that policy debates don't take place in a vacuum. They have direct and immediate impacts on real lives, Trans Lifeline Executive Director Sam Ames told Teen Vogue. Since the HHS memo was leaked, the number of calls to our crisis hotline was more than quadrupled. That's a lot. So doubling the number of new callers who have never needed to access our services before, and this is bad news, but it's not new news. Ames said that the organization also noticed an increase in calls from Massachusetts. Wow, of all places, Massachusetts?
Yep.
Where a referendum on transgender rights will appear on ballots next week. That's why. Okay. So playing politics with civil rights of a vulnerable population has consequences. But moments like this like this are exactly why Trans Lifeline exists, Ames said. So the Trans Lifeline, if you all are interested to give to people who might need it, it's 1-877-565-8860. So it is sad that it's expected whenever it's a Trump story, it has to be something against the LGBT community. But it is kind of, I would say, Ray, it's kind of, it's bad, definitely bad, but it's kind of good because people are now truly asking for help. Maybe this attack by Trump to transgender people is now empowering people empowering them to actually talk to people who are like them. So yeah, it's good, but it's bad in a sense, but it's good that people are having their support and they know that there's a support hotline for them, for, you know, Trans Lifeline. So I'm glad for them. Well, speaking of transgender, not really transgender, but, you know, can we talk about what's going to happen next week, or is that a secret?
What's happening next week?
Oh, at the fundraiser.
Oh, that has nothing to do with transgender at all.
Oh, it isn't. That's at all. Not at all.
No.
No, okay. So we'll probably talk about it later, if you want to.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. That has nothing to do with trans people's life.
That's right. It isn't. So you want me to take this geek? Because it's kind of geeky. Because I have so many things to say. So I'll talk about this one.
Sure.
Okay, I'll take the geek because this is the only geek we could get this week because our contributors have been dwindling down, meaning Caesar left. Anyway, so Apple announces new MacBook Air with Retina display starting at $1,199. I do have a MacBook Air. I have a 6-year-old MacBook Air, and it's still running fine and running Mojave. So anyway, Apple has brought the MacBook Air back to life today. Yeah, I guess that's a good idea because MacBook, you've seen my MacBook, it's really thin, it's really nice. The MacBook mm-hmm. Airs are really nice. So they're announcing the first proper refresh of its super thin laptop line in 3 years during its October hardware event. The MacBook Air, which last year saw a minor graphics and CPU upgrade, has languished since Apple introduced the 12-inch MacBook in 2015. And yet, Apple, without a proper budget option, has kept their Air around. As Apple's only laptop from $1,000 price point, the Air suffers from a lower resolution, non-Retina display, and subpar performance. But the new MacBook Air, however, is a proper replacement in line with rumors first reported by Bloomberg in August. It has a Retina display, 50% thinner bezels in a design similar to the standard MacBook, and upgraded components. It has a 13.3-inch screen that stretches to the edge of the enclosure. This might be something I might be interested in. So it's got two USB-C ports and a 3.5mm headphone jack. It also weighs just 2.75 pounds, which is lighter than the previous MacBook Air model that came in at 2.96 pounds. The new MacBook Air comes with Touch ID for secure login. Oh, Touch ID. That's interesting. Powered by the same T2 chip in last year's MacBook Pro and iMac Pro models. But it does not have the Touch Bar, which may please some new Mac buyers who find the MacBook Pro Touch Bar unnecessary. Yeah, I think the Touch Bar in the middle, on top of the keyboard. Have you seen that, Ray? I don't think it's any useful. So the device is essentially a modern MacBook Pro in the standard Air design. It has the same third generation laptop keyboard and with the butterfly mechanism, meaning it's been fine-tuned to fix some of the big issues that plagued the initial and follow-up runs of MacBook Pros over the last 2 years. So it's the so just to cut it short, you'll see the link on Gay Geek Bazaar, and it costs $1,199. It's pretty cheap. It's got 128 gigabytes SSD. So yeah, it's a good buy, I think so. Maybe I could trade in my old MacBook Air at some point.
Yep, there you go. It's time for you to upgrade. Merry Christmas, Maynard.
That's right. Oh, so so it's got Retina display. Yeah, but laptops are Retina display. Your phone is Retina display, Ray. Do you complain that your laptop does not look like your, it's not as clear as your iPhone?
Not really.
Not really, right? I don't know.
It's a work laptop, so, you know, I don't expect much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so is resolution these days really that important to a lot of people? Because...
Well, for me, big screen TV, yes. Because I'm still on a plasma TV, and when you're watching some stuff, sometimes it pixelates a little. Well, it doesn't really pixelate, but like it doesn't break down stuff good, like fog and nighttime scenes and all that kind of stuff, just because it's an old TV and that's old technology. And when you get the 4K stuff, it's so super crisp.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, yeah, if you get to download the ones that are really good.
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed is, like, a lot of people, I've been watching The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, how is it?
It's pretty good. Me and Tim have been trying to watch it together, so it's taking us some time because we don't have that much time together to watch TV. But people keep posting stuff of all the stuff that pops up in the background. I went back, and on my TV it doesn't show because it's not there.
Or it's too dark.
It's there, it's so faded out you can't really tell what it is. So.
Oh, too bad. But anyway, so yeah, Retina display on a MacBook Air. Interesting. I think it's still expensive. As right now, I couldn't justify the expense. But we'll see. Maybe a trade-in would do.
You need it, Maynard. It's something you need.
No.
It's something you want. It's a perfect Christmas gift from Mike to you.
Mm-hmm. Stop it. Stop. I might start saving for it. Maybe next year. All right, let's go to the bizarre, Ray. What's our bizarre? This is very much related to our talk about Sabrina. Let's go, Ray.
Yeah. All right, the Satanic Temple claims Netflix's Sabrina illegally copied Baphomet statue.
Oh, bum, bum.
So, late Sunday evening, Lucian Greaves, spokesman and co-founder of the Satanic Temple, tweeted that the organization would be taking legal action against Netflix's Chilling Adventures of Sabrina for appropriating our copyrighted monument designed to promote their asinine satanic panic fiction. Sabrina is Netflix's rendition on our Archie Comics classics following a half-witch, half-human teen as she balances a life battling her religious overbearing bully ruler Satan, as well as jocks at a mortal high school who, like the Dark Lord, are misogynistic bullies. I'll get it right out in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
In an email statement to Broadly, Greaves said that it's one of the center missions of the Satanic Temple has been to fight back against witch hunts and irrational mob panics, adding his view that there is a sign of satanic panic revival today, and as Satanists, we need to do all we can to fight back against neglect and harmful representations. According to Greaves, TST would be pursuing a copyright claim regardless of how Satan was portrayed in Sabrina. In a separate statement sent to Broadly, TST co-founder Malcolm Jerry stated that if a resolution cannot be worked out, we will take aggressive actions to protect our copyright. Will they summon Satan? We hold a copyright that was filed with the Library of Congress, Jerry explained. Statues and their subsequent representations are protected. In fact, the U.S. Postal Service had to pay a hefty fine for their unauthorized use of the representation of a statue, ironically, a representation of the Statue of Liberty. In Netflix's Sabrina, the Baphomet figure also represents Satan, a villainous entity in the teenage witch battles against throughout the series. In the Academy of Unseen Arts, the school for witches depicted in the show, there is a prominent statue of Baphomet, which some media outlets have previously stated looks a lot like the statue created by TST. Both statues feature Baphomet in a seated stance with two adoring children of similar appearance looking upward. Notably, neither of the statues depict Baphomet with breasts, though he is the popularized image of the goat-headed figure originated in an 1856 illustration by occultist Alfred Levi. Clearly shows that the creature with exposed breasts. Levi describes his adronymous Baphomet in a transcendental magic regarded as the first published released on ritual magic, writing that humanity is depicted by the two breasts and the androgyny arms of the Sphinx and the cult sciences. According to Lisa Soper, the production designer of Sabrina, who spoke with Vice about the statue in an interview conducted before Greaves tweeted about the legal action, the show statue was not modeled after TST's. I think that it's a kind of a coincidence, Soper said. When you look at Baphomet, there's really only a couple statues of him, which they have their statue, and we've got our statue in the show. if you look at Goya paintings, you look at a lot of the Theriot cards or the Austere Crawley's iterations of him, because there's hundreds and hundreds of iterations of him. He's always seen with his people around him, and it's more like a father figure kind of thing. So depicting children with him and that kind of stuff and those kind of elements are kind of the same, Sofer said. But it's in no different way, in my opinion, anyhow, from any of the other mass amounts of alliterations of him that we've been around. The Baphomet is a culture figure that's been depicted more than a century. Jerry tells Brawley that TST's depiction is very distinct and has numerous prominent features that do not exist in any prior representation, adding, "Our depiction of Baphomet is wholly original. I cannot compare ours with the previous all previous depictions." Our lawyer sent a letter informing the show that they have violated our copyright in using our own central image as an icon for some evil cannibalistic cult, Graves said. Obviously, the nature of the copyright violation would be considered defamatory. He adds that the TST was never contacted by anyone involved in Netflix series regarding the statue. Our answer, given how the image is portrayed in the show, would have been no. Brodley has reached out to Sofer and Netflix regarding TST's claims. They have not immediately responded. We will update upon a response.
So this is interesting that we were just watching Sabrina. We binge-watched it. It talked about Satan and everything. And here it goes, the Satanic Church.
Yeah. Well, there's also another article that they went out and asked Wiccans what they thought of the show, and they just thought it was bull cocky and stuff.
Well, yeah.
I like it just because it's just a fantasy show.
It's a fantasy TV show. Yeah. It's not unnerving, but it's a little bit what's a good term? It's like very uncomfortable because I grew up Catholic.
I got a lot of the stuff they said all the way through the show made me cringe and stuff at times, but that's because how I was raised.
Yeah.
And I realized they did it that way to get you to do that.
I know. Like hail Satan, and say, oh, bless Satan, you know, instead of being, I've never seen a show that is this blatant, you know, all throughout, and it's depicted, it's supposed to, it feels like it should target teenagers for a Netflix show. I don't know, it feels like, even though, yeah, it's a Netflix show, so.
Yeah, well, same crowd that does Riverdale and them is doing this on Netflix.
But is Riverdale on the CW or something, or where is it?
It's on CW.
CW. And then this was on Netflix because they cannot show this. They cannot show this at all on CW.
Not. But everybody was hoping for a crossover Riverdale, but the Riverdale folks said that's not going to happen, even though this season's got a lot of like weird magic stuff like Sabrina in it. So it's interesting to see what they're doing. But,
and I would say, though, the Chilling Adventures, it really is chilling. And it's almost like another anti-hero show. Didn't I text you, Ray, this morning that after watching it, it feels like Smallville, only darker?
Well, I don't know. I don't see the Smallville part. I mean,
you know, it's more like she would do something and it would solve a problem. And then it would actually cause another problem. And there's a twist.
Yeah,
and there's,
I guess so. I guess,
and there's a twist in the end. There's a twist in the end that somebody's plotting against him. You know, Lex Luthor is actually plotting. All along, you thought he was a good friend, but this plotting. You know, it's like it felt like a Smallville issue. So that's almost like a Smallville. Anyway, okay. So.
Let's do our show end.
Okay. All right.
And we can do that. And what we're really doing this is after the show end, if you want to stay around and listen to some.
Or you can skip this one.
Or you can skip this one.
Yeah.
We call it political talk, but it popped up, and I think it just needs to be discussed. I know we're not a political show. We just talk about gay, geek, bizarre stuff. And it kind of ties into the gay stuff. But if you don't want to listen to political stuff, once we get done with.
Give it about 5 minutes.
give it a couple minutes. And then we'll pick up with it. But so we're gonna do our whole ending thing, and then we're gonna jump back into this last story.
Whole ending thing? What do you mean?
Like special thanks to Caesar?
Oh, we're gonna end the show now, and then it's gonna be like an extended. What you're talking
it's
about?
It's gonna be like an extended version of the show. So if people want to listen to political, because I know everybody's burnt out on it, and thank God tomorrow election day's over with, and I won't be getting text nonstop about voting.
This is so. We're doing this live, guys. Okay, we're doing this live. So we're going to close the show now. and then we'll have the a commentary afterwards. Okay, like it's like an after show. Is that what you should have warned me about an after show
thing. Well, it just sprang into my mind.
All right. Okay. You know. All right. So after we end, after we kind of close it, we'll give it a few seconds, and then you all just listen to some political stuff. Okay. So. Just a reminder for all of you guys, go check out feedspot.com. We are on blog.feedspot.com/gay_podcasts, and we are now in the top 25 gay podcasts, so check us out. I'll put the links on the website. So special thanks to Caesar, and he did post some more before he ended, and I think he's not posting anymore. So thank you, Caesar, again, and always listening. Thank you so much for all your services, and hope to hear from you again. I'll chat with you once in a while. Go to the articles that we post on Facebook. So that's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Okay.
Blank. Okay.
All right. Now we're going into the political.
Okay. Talk, political.
Which some we usually don't do, but this article has gotten more responses on our Facebook page than any we've posted in a very long time. So, yeah. I thought we should talk about it. Being a white man, I think I have an opinion about this. So, I will read the article, and you can go follow up and read the other information on it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and then I'll follow up with the comments later. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
CNN's Don Lemon doubles down after saying white men are the biggest terror threat in this country. During a recent segment about a supermarket shooting in Kentucky, CNN host Don Lemon said that the biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Lemon was speaking on live television Monday about an incident in which a white man allegedly shot and killed two black people outside of a Kroger grocery store in Jeffersontown, Kentucky, not far from Louisville.
Louisville.
The incident, Louisville, yeah. The incident, which is being investigated as a hate crime, occurred during the same week that 13 potential explosive devices were sent to prominent Democratic and media fixtures across the country, and 11 people were killed in a mass shooting at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. A white man was charged in the latter case. The one that sent the bombs was Filipino.
It's half Filipino. Half Filipino, it's half white. I think it's half white. Okay. I'm not sure. I just know he's half Filipino.
Okay. Yeah. I keep trying to point out to people not to demonize any one group or any ethnicity, but we keep thinking that the biggest terror threat is something else. Some people who are marching towards the border like it's imminent, Lemon told CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, referring to the Central American migrant caravan walking toward the United States. He added that the last time they did this, a couple hundred people came, and most of them didn't get into the country. Most of them got tuckered out before they even made it to the border. So he said, we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized to the right, and we have to start doing something about them. There's no travel ban on them. There's no ban, you know. They had the Muslim ban. There's no white guy ban. So what do we do about that? Earlier this week, and this is his post from where he made the comment. Earlier this week, I made some comments about that in a conversation with Chris, he said during a broadcast Wednesday night. Yeah. I said that the biggest terror threat to this community comes from radicals on the far right, primarily white men. That angered some people, but let's put emotion aside and look at the cold, hard facts. The evidence is overwhelming. Lemon pointed to a recent Government Accountability Office report that shows since the 9/11 attacks in 2001, a far-right violent extremists have killed 106 people in 62 attacks in the United States, while radical Islamist violent extremists have killed 119 people in 23 attacks. He also referenced several studies, including the 2017 report from the Nation's Institute and Investigative Fund and the Center for Investigative Reporting Reveal, which found that from 2008 to 2016, there were almost twice as many terrorist incidents carried out on U.S. soil by right-wing extremists, many of whom are white, than Islam extremists. It showed there were 115 incidents involving right-wing extremists, and those that ended in death were more deadly than incidents carried out by other groups. So people who are angered about what I said are missing the entire point, Lemon said, about his earlier statements. We don't need to worry about people who are thousands of miles away. The biggest threats are homegrown. The facts prove that. So, okay. I, as a white man, agree with this. I think that the biggest threat right now is other white men to this country. And I think a lot of it has because we grew up, a lot of men are so, egos are so fragile because they're white privilege bullshit that goes on. And I can't say I'm not privileged either because I've used that white privilege before to get jobs and stuff and hold jobs and do other things. I'm not saying nobody hasn't done it or used it, but I'm also aware that some people out there feel that if somebody doesn't think and exactly look like them and do what they do and believe in the same religion and the same beliefs, that their ego seems to me to get hurt. And they're like little boys who's been hurt and they got to lash out at people. And since most of the school shootings have all been white kids, a lot of the stuff that goes on are white men. I believe in my heart that what he is saying is true. And I think it's going to take everybody in this country to stand up and look at it. Because you know what? I am not scared of these people that's coming in from Mexico. Yep. I don't think they're going to all make it to the border. I don't think they're going to make it across the border. It's not like they can just walk across it. I mean, in places you can, but I think that we have enough surveillance there that can stop all of that before it happens. We don't need all these damn troops at the border wasting all this money doing that. But that Trump got his little military plate on that is what I'm thinking. But I would be interesting to hear what other white listeners think about this, how they take on it. Do they think that the white male egos are so fragile now because of the way we've been raised and taught and had stuff beat into us from childhood that we can't handle not being the superior, you know, not being superior to everybody else, that insecurity is what's making us reach out and lash out and do this stuff because we haven't been taught how to deal with not being hateful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but we also, so y'all let us know what y'all think.
Okay. So there are a lot of comments in this one.
I wouldn't say the names. They can see the names on the Facebook.
Yeah. Like Ian. Yeah. He says that since 1492, well, he isn't wrong on that one. That's his observation.
Yeah. And that's when the white people came and started taking over the U.S. So
yeah, and Clark said, "Well, obviously he hasn't been to Chicago, so I guess I don't know the reference for that. Do you understand that reference, Ray?
I don't know if he's talking about white people or black people.
Yeah. So. Okay.
And for y'all that don't know, Don Lemon's a gay man.
Yes.
And his partner is a white male. So for him to say this, I think he has a little insight on some of this stuff because he's lived with a white man. He knows what a pain in the ass we are. So.
Yep. And the next actually is James. He said that, well, he isn't wrong. With Trump in the White House, along with lots of alt-right that have infiltrated there, along with an emboldened KKK, it's downright terrifying. The Republican Party is no longer the party of the Abe Lincoln or Ronald Reagan. It's the party of Breitbart and the alt-right. This president has gaslighted so much hate in this country. And another comment is from Todd. He is saying that Don Lemon is just telling it like it is, which is disheartening. But the facts show it. I mean, the statistics show it.
Yes,
and all these attacks. All these bombings and all that, these gunning down, they're all white.
Well,
men.
It gets me. People post, you know, all lives matter, but the whole deal is with the Black Lives Matter movement. To me, is white men aren't getting usually shot down in the street just for walking down the street, where black people are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a normal occurrence anymore. So, and it seems like the more that Trump spews his hate rhetoric, the worse it gets. And I don't know if, I think the fact that Obama got elected and white people are like, oh my God, we're going to have to answer to a black man.
I know,
and it
right?
scared the shit out of them. And then they went right wing crazy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of factors, and I'm sure there's, you know, now they're talking about the PSD for college students because Trump was elected. And I'm like, oh Lord, the damn millennials. Mm-hmm. But so what do y'all think?
Just let us know.
Let us know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation about it. We don't need to be hateful about it. We're all having a conversation. This is something about politics that it should have been learned long ago. You can talk about stuff, disagree about stuff, and not hate somebody about it.
Yeah, and
everybody can have their own opinion.
And you don't and have I'd to like, demonize
And we'd like
people.
To hear y'all's on this. Yeah. You don't have to demonize people or make them hate rhetoric or any of that kind of stuff because everybody has their own point of view. Me and Maynard have totally different point of views on things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's always wrong. I'm always right because I'm white and white's right.
Right.
So
right.
So okay. Let us know what y'all think about this.
All right.
And how you feel. And let's hope that things go good. And, you know, I hope everybody got out and voted.
Oh, yes. Right. Everyone should have voted. Should vote tomorrow. Yeah.
That's right. If you hadn't voted, you better go do it tomorrow if you listen to this.
We're recording this on November 5th. Okay.
So.
Wow.
And regardless of what goes down, I hope everybody exercise their right to vote. Because if you don't vote, you ain't got no right to bitch about anything.